Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255 or text us at 580-580.
Frank Napolitano here, Paul Rushforth here.
Yep.
Welcome home, baby.
Yep.
Ding dong.
You yep. must have really missed us while you were in the Virgin Islands.
I didn't miss you guys at all.
Missed us so much you had to listen.
Well, I listened to you guys because I was just getting ready to dock and have some lobster and a nice cold beer, and I just wanted to send you guys some pictures and let you know where I was. It was a beautiful sandy beach, and you know, Frank asked me if I wanted breakfast this morning, but I mean, I'm so used to having lobster for breakfast, I didn't want to have a bagel.
or you're just, you know, all the money you've saved in the last 5 years of buying me breakfast three times, you had enough to go down to the British Virgin Islands, where I'm here because I'm buying breakfast every week. So,
but it was
you
nice.
Took away a holiday from me.
It was nice to harass you guys with some pictures, and I got a lot of swear words back for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Well, you looked a little chunky.
Oh,
in some of those pictures.
Come
so,
on.
Anyway,
you can't get chunky eating seafood and drinking vodka every day, can you?
You want to bet?
You didn't buy any property when you were down there?
You don't see a lot of property, to be honest with you. When we're in the British Virgin Islands, they're very, very, they're naked islands, really. Like some islands we stopped at, there might be one bar and one restaurant, beautiful sandy beach and lots of vegetation and stuff like that. But there wasn't a lot of homes that we saw. And the ones we saw, not sure if you want to buy those.
Oh, a little rickety.
Oh, yeah. They're a little rickety. It's not
fixer uppers, as you would say.
It's not a very wealthy, the British Virgin Islands are not very wealthy. However, it's very expensive. Like, to get groceries there, to get anything there, gas, everything is really, really expensive. Really expensive. So, you know, I talked to a cab driver when we were there, and then he's like, I spend all my money just on groceries.
Wow. We're not far behind.
No, we're not far behind either. Yeah.
You're so right. You're so right.
Especially Frank, who loves food.
Yeah.
Well, pasta's cheap. So, you know, our comfort food isn't that expensive if you're Italian. So. And the two kitchens, by the way, I mean, I can't believe that a house with two kitchens won't sell much quicker than a house with one kitchen. I mean,
well, they used to, but food is so expensive now, you only need one kitchen.
I guess, but
some place you don't even need a kitchen, it's so expensive.
What about when you're staging a home? Should you put plastic on the couch?
Probably not. Probably not.
Stop
yeah.
it.
When Frank sells his house, we'll have to take the plastic off the couch.
Yeah. Hey, what about that job report in the U.S.? How crazy is that?
I know. What are they down to, 3 and change now?
517,000 jobs created last month in the U.S.
Yeah, they're like 3% or a little bit
they
more.
They were expecting 140, and they got to 517. Now, if you read the fine print on some of that, a lot of them are part-time jobs, and it's people getting second jobs to make ends meet.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's great that, you know, all these jobs were created. When you got people that are having to take a second job to get by, that's problematic in our society. So,
yeah. Well, it's going to happen here, too.
I mean, recession's coming, right?
They say. You know, we're at the beginning of it. There's no question. I mean, you talk to people, the street will tell you we're at the beginning of a recession or we're in a recession. The markets will tell you differently right now. I mean, obviously, the labor report is still robust. We'll see what the next one's like coming out soon. But it was interesting to hear the Fed. So the Feds in the U.S. raised their prime rate by 0.25%.
They were a little behind us, though, right?
They are. But he said one word in there that was really interesting, which is disinflationary. So he thinks that inflation will actually go negative. So it was interesting to see the bond markets absolutely react to that and come down 15 basis points in a matter of 10 minutes. And they stayed low. And then yesterday, the job report comes out in the U.S. and back up there with that 15 basis points. Yeah. So
did he give a timeline on when inflation is going to go negative?
So he thinks it'll be towards the end of this year. And the U.S. still has maybe one more prime rate increase left in them or one more Fed raise. But Canada, certainly, everything is priced for right now. We are in pause. There's no way that Tiff Macklem's going to raise prime anymore.
Think we'll be paused at least 6 months?
We pause at least 6 months. I think they need to get the inflation number. Now, again, we got another month or two of inflation numbers probably still registering fairly high. But I think come March and April, we'll really start to see those numbers normalize again, get back into the, you know, maybe the threes.
So if all this is true, could variable go down by the end of the year?
Prime rate by the end of the year. So right now, the economists think that prime rate might come down as much as 0.5% by the end of the year. But it's all going to happen in the fourth quarter, not before the fourth quarter, unless unless the recession goes really deep and they have to early. But so there's a number of economists.
So are we going variable today, or are we going for five?
Well, again, the benefit of a variable is that if you believe that fixed rates are coming down, you'll have the option. You know, it's a small price to pay over the next 6 months or 12 months to take the variable, but you'll be able to opt out of the variable and into a fixed if you think that fixed rates are coming down. There's a number of economists out there that have already started predicting that we'll be back into the threes by the end of this year.
Nice.
For five-year fix. So,
I think we will too.
So, but we're almost there now. Like, honestly, if you're buying a house, if you're a first-time home buyer who's buying a house with, you know, less than 20% down, you're getting 4.5% for a five-year fixed through some of our lenders. So we're, you know, we've come down quite a bit. Real estate prices have come down. I mean, Paul will talk about the numbers. But again, take into account, right, January, February, March last year were absolutely crazy years. Yeah. So there was no question those numbers were coming down.
When you said, now don't go crazy when the numbers for December come out because
– Yeah.
or January.
Yeah, so what's going to happen is in the next – well, because we saw January, February, March, April just go through the roof. I mean, we went from 645,000 average sale price to 739 by the end of April. So that was astronomical increases. So – these next 4 months, we will be, the number of sales will be well below where we were last year at this time. The average sale price will also be well below where we were last time. I'm looking at the average sale price. So if we look at the numbers for January, number of sales was down 35%, which is a lot. Keep in mind, Toronto was down almost 48%. So they're panicking a little bit in Toronto. Our average sale price was down 9.2%. We finished the year at $691,000 as our average sale price. Right now we're at $612,000. So we're seeing a large drop. I mean, inventory on the market is increasing. Days on market is up to 44 days on market right now, where, you know, last year we were like, you know, 10 to 15, 17 days on market. So we're seeing that increase as well. And, you know, one factor, too, that we look at is new home builders. We're looking at the new home builders right now, and every new home builder is slashing their prices. And I'm not talking slashing by 30 grand, 40 grand. Some of them are slashing by $200,000-$400,000. There's a major builder the other day that sent out a press release and with a bunch of homes that are for sale that are coming up. And some of them were at, you know, 1.3 that are now slashed to 9, 950, 975. So they're really slashing their prices. And new home builders do a lot of research and they have a good pulse on the market. And, you know, when we see that happening, we are going to see a shift a little bit in these prices. We will probably start to stabilize. Hopefully, you know, I'm hoping we're stabilized now, but we're still seeing a shift in the average sale price. In some areas are a little bit concerning. I mean, there's a lot of areas in suburbia where there's, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 homes similar on the market, which is concerning because, you know, the absorption rate really starts to climb at that point when homes are just not selling. So, you know, I'm not a doom and gloom type of guy, but I'm a cautious type of guy when I tell you that January was what I thought it was going to be. But I'd love to see some movement come February, March, and April. And I know we're going to be behind because of how crazy we went. I'd still like to see a little bit of movement on that average sale price to go up a little bit, not drastically down. Or, I mean, we're almost down 10%, right? That's a lot.
But if it doesn't go up in the next 3 months, probably won't go up this year, right?
No, it'll go up. I think it's going to go up. I think we're going to rebound. And you know, I thought we were coming to the end of where we were going to be in December, maybe coming into Jan, Feb, and I thought we'd stabilize at that point. It might not be till March or April now where we stabilize a little bit and then start to pick up the average sale price in the second half. January was, I mean, I was gone for half of it, but January was, you know, according to the numbers, was I wouldn't say troubling, but it was a little concerning and cautious.
But
right
not
now.
Surprising.
No, not surprising because I mentioned, like, we went from, you know, an average sale price. I think we gained, what did we end up at last January? We're at 674. Keep in mind, we started the year last year at 645. So our average sale price went up huge last year in the first month of the year. And then it climbed even more. So we're definitely going to be behind as we go through these next 4 months. It has to be because what we saw in the first 4 months of 2022, I don't think we'll ever see again. That was so crazy. So
now I'm not surprised that they went down. Home sales went down 35%. I am a little surprised that condos went down 47%. Is that because fewer move and the numbers are skewed or?
Well, the reason, and here's the thing about condos too. I was very surprised too, because homes are starting to become a little bit more affordable. Now people that were having to go into a condo last year maybe are shifting towards that townhome now because they're more affordable, or that small single again. Whereas last year, the small singles, the townhomes were so unaffordable that they had to move into those smaller condos. And I think what's happening now is people are able to maybe afford those smaller singles and those townhomes now. I mean, a townhome last year at this time was in the sevens. You know, now I'm looking at some of them, they're in the mid fives. Wow. So, so they're a little bit more affordable now. So people who are like, geez, I couldn't afford 725 or 750, but I can afford 550, you know, or 575. So they're able to pick up those townhomes now. And so they're maybe shifting a little bit away from those condos. It will probably go back again. Like, I'd love to give a bigger sample size. I mean, it's hard to predict a year in January.
Yeah.
I'd love to predict a year in March, at the end of March, when we know a little bit more about what's happening, the numbers, where the trends are going. But yeah, the condo's down 47%. I attribute that to people now being able to afford a little bit more of a house.
So, Frank, if you were able to buy a place for $700,000 last year with the rates at what they're at, and you could buy that same place, say, for $500,000 this year with the rates where they're at, are we almost even?
We're almost close. Payment-wise, you're close. I mean, obviously, down payment, you're much less because it's $700,000. You know, even if you bought with the minimum down payment of 5%, it's 5% of the first $500,000, 10% above the $700,000. So, you know, you'd have to come up with an additional $20,000 on the $700,000 down payment. But payments are the same based on, and again, let's put it into context. Prime rate's gone up 8 times. It's gone up 4%, more than 4%, 4.25%. Fixed rates haven't gone up that much. So if we looked at a year ago, you can get a 5-year fixed in the low threes on a high ratio. Today, we're at 4.5. So we've gone up 1.25% on the fixed. Now, the fixed rates have come down 0.75% over the last 3 months. And honestly, there's
and by the way, not to interrupt you, but these all get lost. These numbers get lost in the prime rate fiasco.
Oh, 100%, because everybody's thinking about the Bank of Canada prime and not looking at the fixed rates, where the fixed rates haven't come close to going up. Now, 2 years ago, we were at 1.89 for a 5-year fix, but that, you know, really, we didn't see a lot of that towards the latter part of 2021. We already started to see the fixed rates get into the twos, and early 22, we saw them get into the low threes. So, again, the rates have gone up. Now, there's room. I'll tell you right now, the gap between the 5-year bond market and the bank's 5-year rates is quite high, and the spread is quite nice. So, if the banks wanted, and I suspect, and I hope I'm right, I think the banks are holding off on lowering the rates until the spring market because they want to take advantage of the spring market and they want the market share during the spring market. That being said, the banks are guilty of calling clients now and telling them that rates are going to continue to go up and to try and get them to early renew and get out of their lower rate mortgages. And that's the part that's disappointing. Again, I've had probably half a dozen customers that called me this week and said, here's what my bank said. And
when are their mortgages coming up for renewal?
May, June, July. And every single one of them said that my banker told me that rates are going up. So I should convert now. And that's the part that disappoints me because their economist is saying something different. So here you got that specific bank's economist saying that rates, fixed rates are likely coming down. Prime rate will likely come down towards the second half of this year. And you got the branch mortgage specialist or just the branch individuals calling customers, telling them that rates are going up and trying to get them to give up their 2.5, 289, 319 mortgage that matures in July, give it up now and take a 5% mortgage now, 5.5% mortgage, because rates are going to be higher come
but
June,
that's
July.
That's 5 months you're giving up.
Yes, you are. That's the point. That's why. So now, like normally we'll call our customers 4 months in advance. Now we're calling them 6 months in advance and saying, listen, you might get a call from the financial institution. I can't lock in a rate for you now, and we shouldn't have to worry about that anyway because we do believe that rates are coming down. But if your institution calls you and says, hey, I've got a renewal offer for you, and here's a special rate we're going to give you, and rates are going up, don't believe them. Just sit tight.
On the other side of the break, Steve, I know I've talked about why you need to be buying right now. I'll tell you why you really need to be buying right now.
So not just buying, really buying.
Really buying.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Paul Rushforth here. Frank Napolitano here. To the phones we go. Say hello to Troy. Hello, Troy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're great.
Yeah, I'm just calling up because I've been looking at land out in Ralston around Mattawa area, and I've finally got my eye on this piece, about 2.9 acres. They want $59.9 for it, and I'm wondering, like, do banks lend money for land? Is that something I should look into? And how do I go about doing that? Can I borrow for that? It's my first time looking into stuff like that, and I'm wondering, is it worthwhile?
Yeah, it depends on your situation, obviously, your job, your credit. I mean, they all play a part. That being said, most banks don't specifically lend on land. What they might do is they might do a loan and put a lien on the land, but they'll do it as a loan. Generally speaking, they don't do mortgages on land. They're not that small. And again, $59,000 is a lot of money, but when it comes to mortgage-wise, it's not a lot of money. Most banks have minimum mortgage amounts of $75,000. You'd have to put a healthy down payment, though. Like, they want to see your skin in the game, so.
I have about $20,000 I could use to play with.
Do they care if you're going to build on it or not?
Well, again, I mean, if they're doing a mortgage, no. If they're doing a loan, they don't care either, because they might amortize the loan over 10 years, so you've got 10 years to pay it off kind of thing. So,
okay.
But it's all going to come down to, I wouldn't even say, you may not have to say that you're buying land with it. Just see if you qualify for a loan or a personal line of credit kind of thing that allows you to have the access to the money to do whatever you want with it.
Okay, I see what you mean. Okay.
You got good skin in the game, and that's the important thing. I mean, I get customers to call me and say, wow, I got $5,000 and, I'm looking to borrow $55,000 on a $59,000 parcel of land, and the answer is going to be the bank's going to say, nope, not on a mortgage side. You can't get default insurance on it. But again, if you qualify on the unsecured side, which unfortunately the rate's going to be higher, but at the end of the day, at least you can get the money for it if you think it's good value.
Okay, so with $20,000 in my pocket, they might be a little happier with that.
Well, again, you're not applying for a mortgage. In many cases, you're just applying for a loan, right? So
if
you qualify for a $40,000 loan and based on your credit and your job, then you should be okay.
Okay. Well, that's what I'll look into it. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Troy.
Thanks, Troy.
Have a good day.
How expensive is it to add a home equity line of credit if you don't have a home equity line of credit?
To a home?
Yeah, if you don't have one
already.
Well,
it all depends. A lot of lenders and banks out there will use a title insurance company to do it. So anywhere between $800 to $1,200, depending on whether an appraisal is needed.
Is the interest rate cheaper than just a personal line of credit?
Used to be. When prime rate was good, it used to be. Yeah. But now the prime rate's where it's at. I mean, you're well into the sevens when it comes to home equity line of credit. Most customers that are calling us now are talking about, okay, the home equity line of credit's been pretty affordable to carry, but over the last 8 months, our payment's gone from $300 to $850 a month. So now, maybe we want to throw this into the mortgage and amortize it over 30 years because, just the payments are too much kind of thing. So,
and you're only paying interest too, right?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of clients that are calling us and saying our mortgage is up for renewal, and with the interest rates higher than they are, we need to keep our payments close to the same, and that's where... it's unfortunate, but I say to them, just because we're increasing your amortization, you're coming up, you got 20 years. If we put it to 30, I get that we're adding another 10 years, but it doesn't mean that we're adding 10 years for the rest of your life. We're just adding the 10 years for now because the interest rates are where they are. And hopefully, if you took a five-year fix, at the end of 5 years, rates are normalized again, and then you can go back to a 20 or 15-year amortization.
All right, before we go to beautiful downtown Kanata, say hello to Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Morning.
I had a question. Does the title insurance insures the roll number or the address? My issue is I've lived in my house for over 20 years, and with all that's happening with title insurance, we checked. We are covered.
Good.
But the city changed the name of my street, and I called the title insurance, and they said to change it, I need to go through a lawyer. I checked with the lawyer. It'll be $400. And the company charges me $50 to get it done. So,
because the city changed the street name, you're saying your title insurance should still be covered because it's the same home. Just because the city changed the street name shouldn't void your title insurance that you paid for 20 years ago. The property is still the same property.
And it would most likely, don't hold me on this one, but it's most likely your roll number anyways, not your street name.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure that I'm covered if something happens.
I mean, I called a title insurance company and say, listen, here's what's happened. Did you call them and did they tell you that it's not covered? Because I can't believe that to be true.
They were not clear, but they said any changes that I wanted to get done would have to go through a lawyer. That was their final.
Yeah, if you wanted to change.
Yeah, but you don't have to change anything. Again, your property is covered because you originally paid for it. It's the same property. City went around, about 10 years ago, I think, once all the amalgamations happened and changed some of the street names because there were some duplicate names.
But it won't cost you $400 to ask a lawyer.
But you have a roll number and a PIN number attached to your property, and that's where the title insurance would most likely come into play. I mean, your street name, sometimes they do change street names. Yeah. So that's what I'd just tell them. I would get your PIN number and your roll number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you.
Thank you. And 99.9% of people will never have to deal with title insurance anyway. I mean, you know, we're seeing all these stories of the fraud, but you think about the amount of people that own homes, and, you know, even if there's 30 cases like we saw.
But where it does come in handy is if you're misled when you buy
100%.
Then, you know, more than, it won't be 99% of people not using it, because you will actually use it in a case like that.
Well, but 99% of people that get title insurance, I mean, I think First Canadian Title will tell you that the claims are very few and far between for what they get. And that's why it's so affordable, because they don't get a lot of claims. Like, they don't go into this. The percentage of claims happening are very minimal.
Yeah.
It's nice to have his peace of mind.
I think in my whole real estate career, I think I've heard of one or two, which is not a lot.
Still, the protection is worth
a few hundred bucks, or a little more than a few hundred bucks. But
a lot of lawyers won't even do it without title insurance.
You heard David Leith when he was on the line a couple weeks ago. He said, it's a standard now. So it's part of it. Because one, you save money because the lawyers aren't doing all these extra searches that they had to do. Now they don't have to do those searches. So it's great for lawyers. They have to eliminate all these searches, put title insurance on, save the consumer some money, and everyone's protected.
But if you're borrowing, you don't have a choice, because the lender either says you're getting title insurance or we want a survey. Yeah. And a survey costs way more than title insurance does.
And nobody has surveys these days.
And nobody's going to do a survey. I mean, this is crazy, because I remember 30 years ago doing mortgages and having to get surveys. And back then, the surveys were $1,500. I mean, you were buying a $60,000 house and you had to go spend $1,500 to get a survey back then. So I can't even imagine what they would cost today if a survey was needed.
Yeah.
Okay, when we come back, I'd like to find out why we should really, 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 really buy it.
It's too late now. It's too late. No, they missed the opportunity. This period was the opportunity to really, really, really buy.
The last 10 minutes, and now we're out?
We're out.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Okay, so I was just wondering, and I hope I'm not overstepping, but why would you really buy a house now?
Well, you can't now. It's too late.
Too late.
It's too late. We missed the opportunity.
We missed the window.
It was 10 minutes ago. No, but you know, so for the last little bit, what I've been saying is, you know, you get in the next 6 to 8 months, you need to get into the market. You just need to, because it's going to be the perfect storm where you have prices coming down, you have interest rates eventually coming down. But what really dawned on me the other day is when I got 3 or 4 emails from major builders, and I saw those price slashes and drastic price slashes. And then I start to see our numbers coming down even more, our prices coming down even more. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? The builders are onto something. Prices are coming down. Eventually, they're going to go up. And what's going to happen is, as the rates come down, we have these millennials that are just sitting there. We have a huge buyer pool. We see the inventory increasing right now, but when this shifts around, the inventory is going to be so low that for all these buyers, that it's going to be a perfect storm. So I'm telling you right now, if you want to get in, people are thinking, they're sitting on the sidelines, they're thinking prices are going to come down a little bit more. They may. They may come down a little bit more. But when they go up, it's going to be like a hurricane. It's just going to come through and prices are going to skyrocket, like we saw last Jan, Feb, March, and April. So I'm telling you right now, I've said you got about 6 months to get in. I really believe you got about 3 months to get in. I think that's when it's really going to start to shift. Now, if you miss that 3 months, month 4, 5, and 6, you're still going to be able to get in, but you're probably going to pay $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 more for that product than you would over the next probably 3 months.
So if you were to take an educated guess, prices will come down, let's say, for another month, maybe. If you wait and you miss that boat of once they start going up, will they go up higher than what they're going to come down over the next month or so?
Yes.
So it's difficult to time this.
It's very difficult to time it. But I remember I actually had really good friends who came to me at the end of 2021 in November and December. And they're like, Paul, the market's going to go down even more. Because if you remember, the start of 2021, we had a really robust start of 2021. By the time we hit July, we started to come down a little bit. The market softened. You know, the big gold rush was over. And then I said to people, I said, it can happen because the prices are coming down. People are going to start buying again. We have a lot of people sitting on the sidelines. The rates are still low at this time. I mean, they were increasing, but they're still low. I said, the market is going to go nuts in Jan, Feb, March. It's going to go nuts. Didn't think it was going to go as nuts as it did. And I remember talking to my friends, and they're like, no, we know more than you, Paul. We think it's going to continue to come down. Jan, Feb, and March are soft times. We know more than you. I said, guys, trust me, you got to get in now. When they eventually got in, what they bought for about $75,000 to $80,000 more in February than they would have bought in November, December. And they were in the market in November, December, but they decided just to sit back and not listen to me. I'm telling you right now, 2 to 3 months is all you have to buy right now if you want the lowest possible price for a house. And as Frank said, you take that variable, stomach it for another 6, 8, 10, 12, potentially, you know, 15 months, you will be in the driver's seat. And next year at this time, you're going to say, I remember that show. I'm glad I bought because now I'm sitting with a low interest rate. I bought for $550. My house is now worth $700. I'm glad I listened at that point. And
yeah, you don't want to say, I listened to that show. I should have bought.
And I think I told a story a while ago of a couple that was going to buy with us in 2016. And they're looking at townhomes in Orleans at 310, 320. And they're like, no, we're going to wait. 2017, no, we're going to wait. 2018, they finally bought that townhome with us in 2021 or 22. I can't remember what it was. And they paid $675.
Yeah.
Now, they'll say, well, over 4 years, it's going to increase. $300,000 increase in 4 years? I don't think so. So they paid more for that townhome. Keep in mind, they spent 4 years paying rent, too. So just dropping money to a landlord. They missed that opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity. If you're a buyer on the sidelines right now, get off the sidelines. Stomach these interest rates. Get off the sidelines. And I know I've been saying it for quite a while, but it's only when I saw all these emails from the builders that I was like, whoa, now's the time. Because like some of these homes that the builders were selling for 1 to 1.3, at the time, I think they weren't worth 1 to 1.3, but they were getting 1
They
to
were
1.
Betting futures, too.
They were betting futures, too, but they were getting those prices. And, you know, now that I'm seeing them dropping to like 9, even though that's probably where they should have been from the start, but when a builder and four major builders do the exact same thing and drop, I think the lowest drop I saw was like $150,000, but some of them were $200,000, $300,000, $400,000. The builders are telling us something. Keep in mind, these builders have some very smart, economical people, economists. They have just really smart people that are directing this ship. And if they're seeing this, we got to follow this. And
what does that do to resale values?
Well, resale values were already coming down. We saw it. Like, I mean, we ended the year at 691. Now we're at 612. So we're already seeing those numbers come down. It's just now trying to time when that bottom is. And I'm telling you right now, that bottom's really, really near. So it could rebound really quick. Frank says that, you know, the rates, you know, maybe not to the fourth quarter, but if we might see some trailing rates coming down. I just think right now, if you're holding on and you're just waiting for this market to go down even more, I think you're making a big mistake. Remember I said that.
You know what else, though? The average sale price in Ottawa is about $400,000 less than Toronto. So we're going to start to see Toronto buyers coming back as well.
Well, hold on. It's even more than that. I mean, Toronto's got to be, what, 1.1, 1.2
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I think it's 1 and change.
Yeah, 1 and change. So, you know, and we're just over 600. So, yeah, we're $400,000, $500,000 off Toronto. And we saw during 2022, we saw those Toronto buyers coming because Toronto went insane just like we went insane. Yeah. And we had tons of Toronto buyers coming. You know, now people are thinking, if they're living in Toronto, thinking, you know what, I could pick up that for a little less now. Maybe I'll stay in Toronto. That could shift again, too, as our prices keep coming down, right? So, and Toronto's a little more finicky than we are. They could go up and down overnight, whereas we don't really go up and down overnight. So we might see some Toronto buyers coming back here.
Not if they came this weekend. Not a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'll stay in Toronto. Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although it is a good time to look for a house if you want to see if it needs windows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, put your hand by the doors and by the windows. If you feel a breeze, those are bad windows.
You see ice, no good.
No good, yeah, exactly. So that's why I think you need to buy now. Like, and I don't mean buy now as being that slimy realtor saying, buy now. I'm saying don't miss this opportunity because in 6 to 8 months, you're going to kick yourself if you haven't bought something.
So if you haven't started looking yet, at least start looking now?
I would start looking. Get yourself on a search. See what's out there. Watch what the prices are doing.
Are we going to see inventory come up a bit?
We're already seeing it. Keep in mind, we're just about 2,500 homes on the market, but we're still early in the year, right? It usually climbs as we get into Jan, Feb, March, and April. that's another thing. If your house is not on the market right now, get it on the market, because there's still a lot of buyers that once they get off that sideline, they're looking for a house, and there's not enough inventory on the market. Even though it's climbing, there's still not enough inventory. When all those millennials go berserk and rates come down, they're going to be chomping at the bit for properties, and there's just not enough right now.
Have you noticed buyers wanting to come back now, Frank?
Pre-approvals are up significantly this month, and even in December, we started to notice the pre-approvals going up. There's a lot of first-time home buyers that have been on the sidelines for the last 6 months that I think are going to start to get serious about looking now. It always comes down to what's their monthly cost and what can they afford and can they qualify. The fact that, you know, the five-year fixed rate now for most first-time home buyers, they're buying with less than 20%. So, you know, you're qualifying at 6.5%. It's doable. When the rates were in the fives, 5.5%, now you're qualifying at 7.5%. That's really difficult to qualify for. The bank qualifying rate is still 5.25%, so it's not used in any circumstance right now. It's there for nothing. I mean, it's not used at all. But, you know, we're hoping, again, OSFI's looking at some changes. But, you know, we hope that they'll look at things the way they should be looked at from street level.
They don't seem to be in a big hurry to make any changes.
Well, no, but they started talking about a month ago about making changes to worse, to make it even harder for Canadians to get into home ownership. And, you know, I think a lot of Canadians are getting offended because all these rule changes are helping the extremely rich financial institutions have less risk. And, you know, that's the problem that a lot of younger Canadians will have is, so I can't qualify for a home because the banks want to take no risk when already the delinquencies are at all-time lows. And they're creeping up a little bit, but listen, I mean, delinquencies are nothing. The thing that's concerning today is you're seeing credit card balances. The credit reporting agencies are saying now that credit card balances have jumped tremendously in the last 6 to 8 months.
Of course.
Balances have stayed up. So, you know, where sometimes the balances jump, but people are still paying them off. Now you're seeing, you know, the balances remain high. People are close to their limits again. You know, I suspect that over the next month or two, we're going to hear a lot of statistics where bankruptcies are up and consumer proposals are up. There's a lot of people out there going to these companies where they'll give you, and I had a client this week, and, you know, he called me and he said, Frank, this lender wants me to borrow more money and they're giving it to me at 9.99%. But when I looked at it, and it's no word of a lie, it's 100 pages was this document that they sent them, and it was 9.99 for the first 6 months and then 24.99. But all they talked about is the 9.99%. They didn't bring up the 24.99 because it's in the fine print. So, you know, in those cases, you're better off to get a second mortgage through a private lender than you are to go to these places, because on the private lender, at least it's flat rate. It still might be 9.99, but it's 9.99 for good. And in many cases, what we're seeing is clients calling us and saying, like, my bank won't approve me for a home equity line of credit because they don't qualify, but they've got credit card debt at 22 or 24%. So, yeah, is there a price to get a second? And they don't want to give up their first mortgage because their first mortgage they took out 2-3 years ago at 2%, 2.5%. So you want to keep that. You're still better off to go and get, you know, a second mortgage if it's a private mortgage at 9.99%. You'll pay a fee up front, but at least they'll keep your payments low and you won't, you know, keep carrying those credit card balance. And your score will be higher because you don't have those credit card balances, which will allow you to get a traditional mortgage at least at the time when the mortgage matures.
What should be a minimum score before you even think of looking for a house these days?
Well, so, you know, the default insurers will tell you it's 600, but the lenders will tell you it's 650. So, now, you could be between 600 and 650, but it depends on the circumstances. So in some cases, we'll see that somebody might be at their limit on one credit card, but they've got other credit cards that are below the limit. So that they'll make an exception on. What they won't make an exception on is if there's delinquencies. So if you're missing credit card payments and that's why your score is between 6 and 650, that's where the challenge is, because they're going to say they're renting for $1,700. If they buy this house, their payment's $2,800. And they're missing $30 credit card payments. Mm. That concerns us. And that's the way they're looking at things today. They're just not doing the numbers. They're looking a little bit deeper into it.
So, a little bit deeper.
Well,
there's an understatement.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, dealing with lenders today, they tick every box. And we're not talking even somebody that's salaried. They'll Google the person. It's incredible some of the measures they go to to make sure that this is a legitimate application today.
521 Talk, 521-8255. We'll be right back, and we'll find out why you should really, really, really buy a house now.
Too late. Too late.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
I like the music.
Yeah, you like the music. You're just letting it roll.
Just grooving it.
You're just dancing along to this music. All right, cool.
Do a little groove.
Cool, cool.
Hey, what are we at? 454 now for 5 year?
454 for a 5 year fixed high ratio, or if you're Or if you're purchasing with 35% down or more and a 25-year amortization. So as long as you qualify for that, you're getting 454. But even the, you know, if you have to go to a 30-year amortization. So, you know, a lot of customers are looking at the 3-year, the 1 and the 2-year. So our rates are inverted right now. And what that means is that because we're heading into a recession, the bond market typically inverts. And so we've got a 1 and a 2-year that are more expensive than a 3, 4, 5-year. So the shorter-term rates are more expensive. And, you know, logically, that would be the way to go. I mean, you would go, if you think the rates are coming down, why not take a 1 year? Because then at the end of a year, then you've got the option to renew. The problem is that the 1 and the 2 years are more expensive than the 5 years. They're even as expensive as the variable. So,
but might be the right way to go, though.
The variable is a better way to go.
Yeah,
if you think
the
prime rate has stopped going up, so you know, if you're buying with less than 20% down or 35% down or more in 25-year amortization, you can get prime minus one. So now, you know, you're in the fives at least, which is where you're going to be with a 1 or 2 year anyway, and sometimes in the sixes. So, but at least the variable gives you the option to be able to get out of the variable and into a fixed if rates come down over the next 9 months, 12 months, and you want to convert it at that point to a 5 year fixed. There's not going to be any penalties to convert it.
Should you be thinking of your mortgage as a 5 year plan?
Well, I don't think buying a home for short term makes any sense.
No, but as you're renewing mortgages now or getting a new mortgage, even though variable is more expensive, should you be thinking a little more long-term, 2 years from now, what's going to happen if it comes down? Will I get my money back? Will I be ahead if I go variable?
Well, I wish I had that crystal ball that told me exactly where rates would be.
Well, that's what you're here for, Frank.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
I can tell you my answer to that question.
And I do believe the rates are coming down. And listen, variable has always been the best way to go. And just now, it's a tougher decision to make because, you know, when we're in a recession, generally speaking, variable isn't as high as it is today in comparison to a 1 or a 2 year. You can normally, you know, 5 year rates are lower, but you think that they're coming down even more. You can generally take a prime rate less one and still be reasonably close to what the 5 year rate is. But today, that's not the case because you're getting a 5 year at 4.5, and on a variable, you're going to be closer to 5.5, 5.75. So that's the problem today.
I guess,
but
my
it's
question
still
is
the
this
right
a,
way to
is
go.
This a blip? For variable.
It is a blip.
A bit of a long blip, but I think it's definitely a blip. Definitely
A blip. Well, a long blip, it's not even a year yet.
Well, yeah, but if you're someone who's in a variable, that's a long blip. Yeah.
It's been a long 8 months.
Yeah.
It's been a very, very long 8 months for people that have started to see their prime rate interest rates go up. And listen, historically, prime rate would go up in 0.25% increments. I mean, that's the other part that didn't happen this year is, you know, the prime rate increases were 0.75 points, 0.5 percentage point. We finally, just in January of this year, we finally got a 0.25% increase and not a 0.5 or 0.75. So
you know who's really feeling it is commercial.
I was just going to ask.
Yeah, like I my two offices that I own, one in Canada, one in Orleans, I'm on a what they call that is a floating, which is a variable. I'm on a variable rate, and I've seen my Canada office go up by $3,000 a month over this period. Like it just, and that's, you know, as a business, I mean, the real estate market's hurting a little bit right now, and but those are still going up, right? So it's commercial's really hurting right now, and if you're in a variable rate mortgage, for sure. And I actually reviewed all my mortgages the other day with all my properties, and there's only one besides my two commercial offices. There's only one that I'm in a variable, and that's my cottage, which is a really low mortgage. But the rest of them, and I mean, 12, 15 months ago, I locked in at like 2.74 and 2.89, and I was laughing at myself going, I'm such an idiot because the rates were lower than that. But now I'm like, this is awesome. 2.74 is awesome.
Now, to be realistic, though, how long have you had that Canada or the office in Orleans?
Orleans, we built that in April of 2011.
And you've been variable the whole time?
The whole time. So there was.
So you are ahead.
Way ahead, because there's one some years that my mortgage on that was, keep in mind, commercial mortgages are higher, though, right? So I was in the twos, I believe, for that one. And at the highest, I was at 3.8 or something. But now I think I'm in the sevens.
You're the
or
sevens.
Now. Like
you're well into the sevens now,
well
for
into
sure,
the sevens, so. Yeah. So that's where you get stung right there. But you know what? I'm going to stay in it. I'm going to stomach it because I know they're coming down.
Yeah. That's
exactly what Frank's trying to say and what I'm trying to say is like, they are going to come down. They can't go up. So just stomach it for the next six. No one knows how long, but, you know, for the next 6 to 12 months, they're going to be back down to a more palatable area where you can, you know, you're seeing money come down rather than watching all this interest go out the window right now. And it's, I just think if you just, a perfect storm, just hold on to what you got to do. Go on that variable rate mortgage, and you'll be fine.
Now, I know you said you should look at buying right now, but what about selling? If you wait before, say, another month, 2 months, 3 months from now, and more properties come on the market, what does that do to your selling power?
Well, so that's the thing, too. Like, what do you tell sellers? Do you tell sellers get on the market now when the market's a little bit tougher? Or do you want to wait for 4 or 5 months when the market's potentially going to be a little better, but you might have way more competition, right? And that's always been the thing as we get into the spring market. People always say, I want to sell in the spring. I want to sell in the spring. I'm like, okay, that's great. You're going to have more buyers looking at your property, so that's awesome. But you're going to have more property for these buyers to look at as well. If you're buying now, I mean, there's not as much property on the market right now. So you might be one of 7 houses that people are looking at rather than one of 17 houses that people are looking at. So it's you never know. Like sometimes I say, you know, try to sell in the slower times because, yes, there's less people looking, but there are more serious people looking and there's less competition. So I just think if you're someone who needs to sell right now, obviously you want to get it on the market. If you're someone who doesn't need to sell, I think you need to evaluate your area and see if this is the best time to sell. Because I did a search this morning, and there's one area, which I won't name again because I don't want to jeopardize anyone's listing. There was 27 townhomes for sale in this market.
Yeah.
And then I looked at another area, and there was 4 total properties for sale. So if you were in this one area that has 4 total properties and you said, should I put my house on the market now? My answer is, hell yeah. Get it on the market right now. If you were trying to sell a townhome in this area that had 22, 27, whatever it was, townhomes on the market, I'd say, well, do you need to sell? Let's discuss what's going to happen. Are more properties going to come on in spring? Most likely they are. So what's going to happen with these properties that are for sale right now? They're going to panic. They're going to drop their price drastically, and you only need one person to drop that price drastically. Next thing you know, the prices have all come down, and that area has been affected.
Worth a free phone call, though.
Worth a free phone call. Absolutely. And
that be 788-2122?
That's it. That's the number. But the beauty about that is we're not coming from a position of scarcity. So we don't have to sell a home to survive. But I will give you the right advice and tell you whether you should be selling, whether you should be buying, or whether you should be holding off. And that's, I tell you right now, if you're asking about buying, I would not be holding off.
Yeah.
If you're asking about selling, let's have a conversation.
The 27 places are in the neighborhood you live in, aren't they?
No, they're not.
They're all on the street.
Yeah, they're all on the street.
They found that I moved to the area, and everyone's moving out.
All right, time for Irish birthdays.
Just a couple. Carrie Martin, our HR, is celebrating her birthday, and Mike. Celebrating a birthday junior senior on Wednesday for Michael Hapke. So
a birthday junior senior.
He's a junior senior.
So we're gonna all meet at Shoppers.
We're all gonna meet at Shoppers on Thursday.
Mikey, he looks freaking good for his age.
Yeah, he's got young kids, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But usually they make you look older.
No, happy
birthday, Mikey.
How
is it I've never heard you say that about me for my age?
Well, you're gray like me, Steve. When you're gray, you don't look.
Listen, Gramps.
I have a couple. Obviously, I was not here for it, but my daughter turned 21 recently while I was away. My son had his birthday yesterday, Chase, who turned 14 yesterday. And my stepson, Zach, Petra's son, is on Tuesday, turns 10. So happy birthday, Zach, Chase, and Taylor.
Is 10 the youngest?
10 is the youngest, yep. Yeah.
21, can you say guarantor? 21.
Oh, yeah, can you say guarantor?
Yeah, for sure.
Paul at paulrushforth.com, Frank N. at mortgagebrokersottawa.com. Have a great week.
Have a great week. To support local businesses and charities, everyone.